his selection of songs was so in keeping with the lesson that I have in mind to share. You know, he spoke of Jesus Christ and that there is no friend like him. And how important it is for us to lean on the everlasting arms of Christ. Indeed, Jesus Christ is everlasting. He was here from our creation. He was part of our creation. And he was there before that. He's indeed an everlasting arm in whom we can depend. And for that reason, we can sing and be happy because of Jesus Christ. In fact, he is our goal. And so we can press towards the goal and we can look to him. Look to him who is the bread of life. So we can partake of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, because he sustains us. And we can look to Calvary because Jesus Christ made things possible for us at Calvary. And tonight, I have titled the lesson, "To Him Be Glory Forever." And the lesson takes its foundation from the book of Romans, chapter 11, and verse 36, where we are told that for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And in this verse, we will get the opportunity to explore and to better understand the importance of Christ and the why and the how of his being glorified. When we examine the verse, it highlights to us that Jesus Christ is our source. Jesus Christ is our sustainer. And Jesus Christ is our goal. For of him, that source, through him, we are sustained. And to him, he is our goal. And for that reason, we ought to glorify him. We need to give him the glory, not just now, but forever. And so as we explore the meaning and the essence of this verse, we will recognize and, well, first of all, we must understand what it means to glorify or to give glory. And when we strive to understand this, then there are some words that help us to better understand this, such as honor. Because when we glorify God, when we give him the glory, then we are talking about honoring him. Honoring means to hold in high esteem, to regard with great respect. And the idea here is that we give him a praise. We actually celebrate. We laud. We speak highly of God. Another concept is to extol. That is to not only praise him, but to praise him enthusiastically. To go about It's almost like a eulogy. And we know how eulogy goes. I've never heard a eulogy where the person doesn't get some big up. And so the idea is that as we glorify God, then we must speak highly of Him. We must heap praises upon Him. It's almost like we are giving some raving recognition to the person to whom the glory is centered. The idea too is that we magnify. And the idea of magnify encapsulates the concept of a magnifying glass, which is where we make great. We big Him up. We big up the Lord God. We make a big deal of Him. And He is indeed a big deal. Also, the concept to revere. Again, where we are thinking highly, where one is esteemed, where one is given value. And so, when we again look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 36, and it says, "To whom be glory," then this is the idea that we are indeed honoring, praising, giving reverence, magnifying the Lord God. Jesus Christ is God. And it is of Him and through Him and to Him that all things are. And this gives us the idea and helps us to understand why we ought to give Him the glory. Because He is the source. You know, in St. John chapter 1 and verse 1, we recognize that Christ was involved in our creation. It is by Him and through Him that everything that was made was made. Can you read that? First St. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning
was the Word.
Was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
And the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God.
Yes.
All things were made by Him.
All things were made by Him.
And without Him.
And without Christ, the Word.
Was not anything made.
Nothing that has been made was made without Him. And so Christ is not a semi-God. He's not a mini-God. He's not a demi-God. Jesus Christ, the Word, is God. And we were created by Him and through Him. And so we recognize that Jesus Christ is our source. But not only is He our source in terms of our creation, physical creation, but all children of God, all persons who are going to have a right relationship with God, have our source, our genesis, our beginning in Jesus Christ. Because there's no way we can be children of God if we do not participate in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But not only that, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, we are told that in Him we live and we move and we have our very being. And so we recognize that in addition to Jesus Christ being our source, Jesus Christ is our sustainer. And so when Romans chapter 11 and verse 36 tells us, "For of Him and through Him," we recognize that in that through Him, He is the one who sustains us. My favorite passage, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." So you see, Christ is our sustainer. Because we cannot live except that we live in Jesus Christ. But not only is Christ our source and our sustainer, but Jesus Christ is our goal. Goal? Yes. For of Him, our source, through Him, our sustainer, and to Him are all things. And so we are not surprised at this, because we are told in the same book of St. John, chapter 14 this time, and verse 1 following, that Christ says, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to prepare this place for you. And I'm going to come again and receive you, that where I am, ye may be also. Are you there, brother?
Amen.
Pick up.
And whether I go, ye know.
And whither I go, you know. And that is a very profound thing. I don't even want to be tempted to delve into that. But later in verse 6, I believe, he goes on to explain.
Jesus said unto him,
yes,
I am the way.
I am the way.
The truth.
So we recognize that if we are going to find the way, then we must find Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is our goal. We cannot make it without the truth.
Amen.
And guess who is the truth?
Jesus.
I am the way.
The truth.
The truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. And He is
the life.
The life.
Amen.
So, we recognize that Jesus Christ is due glory forever. Because He is the source, He is the sustainer, and He is the goal of what we do. Because He has done all things. But beyond the why of glorifying Christ, it is important for us to understand how. So we are clear that because He has created us, He is our source. Because He is the one that continues to sustain us. Because He is the object of all that we are. And we cannot inherit heaven without Him.
Amen.
Because He's the one gone to prepare a place.
Amen.
So we recognize that He is the goal of all that we do. But we are told that because of this, glory is due to Him. So the logical question follows. If glory is due to Him for this reason, so we have answered the why, then the question is, how? How do we glorify Him? While glorifying God includes what we say, what we acclaim, glorifying Him also includes some actions. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21 tells us that not everybody who is glorifying God and saying, Lord, Lord, will make it. Well, read it for me, brother.
Not everyone that saith unto me,
not everyone that says unto me,
Lord, Lord,
Lord, Lord,
shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Pause. So, God expects us to be honoring Him with words. God expects us to be recognizing Christ as Lord. So God wasn't really making an issue of persons saying, Lord, Lord, on the day of judgment. As Christians, we should be saying, Lord, Lord. But what he's saying here is that there are some persons giving glory, but there's a but. Start reading again.
But he that doeth.
Start reading again.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord,
yes,
shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Shall enter into the kingdom. Read.
But he that doeth.
But he that doeth. And so we start seeing that beyond just acclaiming, beyond just echoing words, then there are certain things that we are expected to do. But before we delve into these doing, let's examine the fact that we ought to praise the Almighty God. You know, I like Psalm 67. It's a relatively short psalm, so you will indulge me to go through the entire psalm. Read Psalm 67.
To the chief musician.
Yes.
On Nigonoth. A psalm. Yes. Psalm 67.
That's Psalm 67?
Yes.
God be merciful unto us.
That's the psalm. But,
God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us.
Yes.
Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God.
Let the people praise thee.
Let all the people praise thee.
Let all the people praise thee.
Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
So here we are seeing the mouth at work. You know, we are praising and singing. We are singing for joy. Read.
For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth.
Yes.
Selah, let the people praise thee.
Let the people praise thee.
O God.
Yes.
Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us.
So in this psalm, it emphasizes the fact that in praising God, we need to lift up our voice to praise Him. You know, it is indeed a wrong thing for us to be in worship and the person who sits right next to you cannot even hear you sing. Because when we praise God, we should be heard. It's not a whisper.
Amen.
It's like we use the term earlier, you're bigging up somebody. Alright? And I want to big up Mary. And I'm saying, boy, you know, Mary, I love the selections that you make. Right? But then the way I do it, I say, what kind of big up that? So when we are praising God, we ought to be heard. It's not a whisper thing. We ought to be saying our amens, and that is right. I agree with that. That is true. Amen. If we want to indicate that, you know, God is to be praised, then we can say hallelujah. So these are responsible ways that we can be giving praise to Almighty God. You know, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, you know, the same sentiments are expressed. It says,
By him therefore,
let us offer the sacrifice
of praise.
Of praise.
To God continually.
Continually.
That is.
That is.
The fruit of our lips.
The fruit of our lips.
Giving thanks.
And giving thanks.
To but, his name.
So what we are seeing here is that in praising God, it calls for our mouth to be engaged. And so we praise God by the things we say. We praise God when we sing. These are things that we echo from our mouth. But you know, if we step down to let's step down to verse 16.
But to do good and to communicate.
All right, just read the last part of 15 and then move into to 16.
The fruit of our lips.
The fruit of our lips.
Giving thanks to his name.
Giving thanks to his name. Read.
But to do good. But.
So what we are seeing now, a contrast. So yes, we ought to make things coming from our mouth. We ought to be singing. We ought to be having the outcome of our lips being echoed. But beyond that, we are expected to do some things. Read verse 16 again, start.
But to do good.
But to do good.
And to communicate.
And to communicate.
Forget not.
Don't forget. So it is easy for some of us to just talk. Yeah, it's a more mature chat. Not make the talk. But beyond talking, we must do. We cannot be getting up every day and just talking, God is good. But we do not share the gospel with others. We cannot get up every day and be talking about how God is good and we have not accepted the plan of salvation. So when you have been exposed to the good news of Christ, when you recognize that Christ left heaven, the splendor of it, and he came to earth, and he didn't even come in luxury, but he came born among animals. He grew up with rough work. Carpenter, probably lick himself enough time for him finger, till him get expert. He wasn't rich. He died a most awful death just to save us. Just to be the right goal for us. Just to ensure that he can truly sustain us because he is the one from whom we came. He made us. And having recognized that Christ did that for you, and you are saying, thank God, but you have not obeyed the gospel. Having heard it, you have not really believed it. And even if you believe it, you have not moved on to make that change, that turn, then something is wrong. Because you can't just talk this thing. Having made all of that progress, you still need to confess that he is the Son of God. He's not a demigod. A mini God. He's fully God. And you need to participate in his death, burial, and resurrection by being immersed in water. You are to do all of that doing, but you are just talking. That's not enough. And hear what now? Some of us have obeyed the gospel and we stop. Having become children of God, we need to be doing. We need to be working in the kingdom. It is not that I have arrived and, you know, God will take it from here. To a large extent, we're going to depend on Him to help us. But we have to do some things as well. And so we are told that we ought to do good. We ought to communicate. And that's another lesson. If I expand on this lesson, then Brother Mitchell, you'll give me a Sunday in April. But we can't preach about giving outside of April, can't we? And so the idea is that we can do good. And in doing good, we would be glorifying the Almighty God. When we must not forget to give, to share. And we must not forget to obey and submit to our leaders. But that's another lesson again. But can we just read the verse at least and leave the thought? Verse 17.
Obey.
So let us make sure we get the essence of what we're talking about. So here it is that we are being given an insight, an understanding of what it is to glorify God. And we are told that, you know, we glorify Him when we praise Him, the fruit of our lips. But without putting a full stop on the whole thing, it says, while we praise Him with our lips, don't forget to do good. One, don't forget to communicate. Two, verse 17 now.
Obey them that have the rule over you.
Alright, so in praising God, in glorifying Christ, we must obey
them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls.
Do you know that this is talking about leaders in the church? And so we have to be so careful that as we, as members, working together in the vineyard, that persons who are put in positions to watch over your souls, to feed you, that we are obedient as long as they are in keeping with God's will. Or else we are not really glorifying God. Can you believe that? So in giving God, in giving Christ glory, we must also obey and submit to leaders. Remember, you know, when we come into the church, we come in with all kind of history.
True.
And for some of us, we were unruly. When we come into the church, we don't automatically get rid of our unruliness and our bad ways. So we have to work. So some person, you know, there are women who, because of their jobs and their orientation, they find it very hard to submit to God's clear instruction that women ought to take, in terms of a leadership role, a secondary position. They find that hard to accept because they are used to it otherwise. Some, because of abuse that they have encountered in the world. And so, in order to be successful, they had to be strong. And so, to take a submissive role, it's a very hard thing. And I dare say that is not only in the church. There are some women who, not even in marriage, they can submit. Give them big bad argument to Brother Mitchell. But that's a fact. Many marriages fail because the partners cannot appreciate that type of relationship. You know, things will go well as long as the man is willing to say yes. Okay, I get one, that's right. Very good. Now, let us try to move on. You know, I still have a reasonable time, another 5-10 minutes. So we are recognizing that how we glorify God is not just by our lips, not just by our mouth. We want to spend the next few minutes looking at two other ways that we see that we are encouraged to give glory to Christ. In St. John chapter 15 and verse 8, St. John chapter 15 and verse 8, we see something that I think can be very enlightening to us. St. John chapter 15 and verse 8, read when you reach.
Herein is my Father glorified.
Herein is my Father glorified.
That he bear much fruit. So shall he be.
Herein is my Father glorified, in that you talk about much fruit.
That you bear
much fruit.
That you bear the tail of much fruit. That you bear the tail of much fruit.
No, brother.
Read again.
Herein is my Father glorified.
Herein, this is the way. In this way, we give God glory. How?
That he bear much
that
fruit.
That we bear much fruit. Oh, I think I get it now. So, if we are going to glorify God, then we must get into the agriculture business. So we must plant orange, and even though here is a little hot, grape, some tangerine, mango, may bear much fruit. The brothers that are reading for me looking at me like I'm talking foolishness. Read again. Let me see if I can get a good understanding.
Herein is my Father glorified.
In this way, God will get glory.
That he bear much fruit.
That we bear much fruit. This bearing of fruit is actually talking about soul winning.
Amen.
And so what we are recognizing is that if we go about just talking, but we are not winning souls for Christ. We are not doing personal evangelism. We are not telling our schoolmates. We are not telling our co-workers. We are not telling our neighbors about Christ and causing them to come to him. Then we are not glorifying God.
Amen.
For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So if we are going to give God glory, we cannot just be about talk. We cannot just be about coming to worship and singing. It can't be just about coming to church and participating in Bible study and worship, taking the communion and giving. We must be involved in winning of souls. In this way, we really glorify God.
Amen.
But not only in evangelism. We are told in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20 that in our bodies, in what we do, we actually give God glory. Read for me.
For ye are bought with a price.
You are bought with a price.
Therefore, glorify God in your body.
Therefore, glorify God in your body. Again, it is coming across to us overwhelmingly clear that it's not just about mouth.
Amen.
You know, there's that song, action, not a bag of mouth. It is what we do. Read a little further for me.
And in your spirit,
yes,
which are God's.
All right. So, it is not just what we say, it is what we do in our body. In fact, if we read a few verses up, then it sort of zeroes in on the fact that, you know, what we do in our body affects in a real way our relationship with God. You see, because by our relationship with God, we are one with God. So when we now contaminate ourselves, it's almost like we are contaminating that relationship with God.
Amen.
And so it sort of zeroes in on sexual immorality, you know, fornication. And it even brings in and says, how is it? How could we have a situation where you as a child of God go and co-mingle with a prostitute? And it's like, that is unheard of. Because how can you get involved in sexual immorality when you are one with God? You're spoiling up the whole thing. And don't get sidetracked and zeroing too much on sexual immorality, because that's not the only way that we can contaminate the relationship with God. In fact, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 22 lists several things that we can associate with the body or with the flesh as opposed to that of the spirit. And it tells us, if we read quickly, it highlights certain manifestation of the flesh.
This I say then. Walk in the Spirit.
Walk in the Spirit.
And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the works of the flesh. And it's going to make it clear to us what it's talking about.
For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit.
Yes, read.
And the Spirit against the flesh.
Read.
And these are contrary to the one to the other.
All right, I will want you to get down to the list.
So that ye cannot do the things which ye would.
Mm-hmm.
But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law.
Yes.
Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these.
Yes, these. Right.
Adultery.
Adultery.
Fornication.
Fornication.
Uncleanness.
Uncleanness. So it's going down. All right.
Last
so it picked up the same sexual immorality that we saw in 1 Corinthians. But I want us to, as the list goes down, I want you to notice how it mixes those type of things with some other things that if we are not careful, we think that they are okay. Read.
Lasciviousness.
Idolatry.
Witchcraft. Hatred.
Can you imagine that?
Variance. Emulation.
Wrath.
Strife.
Strife? You mean strife? You mean strife? If I have strife, then I'm not glorifying God. But I could easily see adultery and fornication and even lasciviousness, even though you can say, well, indecent body language, body action and that type of wantonness, you know, that's not so bad. But strife? You mean when I strife, then I'm not glorifying God?
Yes, sir.
Read on.
Seditions. Heresies.
Oh, Lord, that's all right. Heresies.
Envying.
You mean when I envy, I am not glorifying God?
Amen.
Read. That was the end?
No. Murders.
Murderers. Well, we can't relate to that. Yes.
Drunkenness.
If I tipsy and stagger. Yes, you're not glorifying God.
Mm-hmm. Reveling. And such like.
You mean carnival time. You know, soca. I heard it, but if I'd remembered, I would have tried to list it out, and then I would probably be able to read, you know. But somebody was telling me where they have something they can match every day, you know, the only one I'm remembering is Wedding Wednesday. But it's like they have something Monday, something Tuesday. It's like a dance hall thing. So every day of the week, you know, is a different dance hall type of thing. All right? And you mean I can't do all of these things and then Sunday morning I just come and then it become honorary Sunday? When we involving these things, we are not glorifying God.
Amen.
Let us end by just listing some of the ways that we can, in fact, glorify God. So let's jump down to verse 22.
But the fruit of the Spirit, is love.
Love.
Joy.
So when we practice love, we glorify God.
Amen.
We give God glory. Amen. Read.
Joy.
Peace.
Long suffering.
Gentleness.
Goodness.
Faith.
Meekness.
Temperance. All of these things, when we embody this in our life, then we are glorifying God. It's not just about what we say when we come and sit in the pews. It's not just about what we say. Yes, we do glorify God and we ought to glorify Him. We ought to magnify Him. We ought to revere Him. We ought to praise Him with our lips. But beyond that, we ought not to forget to do the other things.
Amen.
To embrace the fruits of the Spirit and to take away those actions of the flesh. That's how we glorify Him. And we need to glorify Him because in Him we have our beginning, our source. In Him and through Him we are sustained. And it is Christ that is our goal. Because at the end of the day, we are going to die. But if we don't die in Him, then heaven cannot be our home.
Amen.
I thank you and I invite the song leader to come with a song of invitation.